This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Thank you for tuning in and listening, even participating in this live call-in radio talk program. You can talk about anything you want.
Get to the number three story.
Yeah.
Somebody get us to the number three story.
It's coming. But first, this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. That's digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Dash has transaction fees that are less than one penny. Dash transactions are instant, irreversible, and protected from 51% attacks by its chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous organization. Bitrefill.com allows for discounted purchases at national retailers when you use Dash. And Spritz.finance allows for bill pay and cash out to your bank. It's one of the oldest cryptocurrencies. It's widely available on exchanges. It's on the decentralized Maya protocol, and it's in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Special thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us here at Free Talk Live 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. That's Dash.org. We were talking before we went to break about crime, San Francisco, that kind of stuff. There's something going on there now, and we want to tell you about it. But first, let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. We've got Matthew calling from the Seattle area. Matthew, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, you mentioned at the beginning of the show talking about the Red Sea issue. And you actually had the solution last night when you were talking about commercial submarines, because if you have a submarine going through the Red Sea, they can't be attacked by the drones that the Carney is shooting down. So it was remarkably prescient of you to mention that the other day.
I didn't even sew that together until you mentioned it. That's amazing.
Yeah, no, clearly the solution is commercial submarines.
It really is. Like, wow. My flabber is gassed.
Teleportation of your goods.
Well, so the weird part, though, is that the real question is what is the United States doing in the Red Sea? It's basically an internal sea. It's got the Suez on the north side and Bab el-Mandeb on the south side. So it's basically like there's no reason to be in there. It's like the Black Sea of the Middle East, and yet somehow there are U.S. warships shooting down drones.
I'm guessing
in the middle of it.
I'm guessing Biden thinks that it's the Red, White, and Blue Sea.
Well, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I like a couple of things just about that whole conflict while we're talking about it. First of all, I don't want any of my money used to, send bombs over there, to send arms over there, to send, if there is a disagreement between people in those regions, those people are the ones who need to figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason for any intervention by any foreign country, much less the United States of America, who really needs to learn how to butt out of everybody else's business, including...
But, Captain, we're allies.
Are we?
No.
I'm sorry. Are people... is the government of Israel taxing people in that area and then sending money to the U.S. for us to use and different things? Are they arming up?
Does it's only a one-way street. Actually doing that,
does any other... Does any government on planet Earth tax their citizenry and send money to the U.S. for any reason?
Negative.
But yet, the United States does that to its citizenry and continues to send money.
Or they say that, at least, right? They're doing something with it. They're taking it.
Certainly.
Putting it somewhere.
Certainly giving people a lot of money, and if they can't do it overtly, they do it covertly, such as the all that money that disappeared right before 9/11.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the Pentagon.
I'm sorry, Matthew, did you have more to say?
Yeah, well, it's kind of strange because, like, when you look at it in the context of the war in the Ukraine, it's kind of like they're just looking for places to test weapons systems that they can't test up anywhere else. So, like, you're like, oh, well, I can't shoot down drones normally, but if I just manage to park myself in a place where people hate us, then we're going to find a way to test this new Gucci weapon system that we have.
Yeah, it does kind of feel that way, doesn't it?
Like real-world testing in a real battle zone.
The other thing that I thought of right away when I saw this news about, you know, this warship being targeted and that kind of thing, just, I mean, it's only hours old, right? I think it's 8 hours old, the story or something like that. The first thing I thought of was, like, this reminds me, not that I was alive to remember this, but it reminds me of the Gulf of Tonkin.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, because the U.S. has been U.S. warships have been targeted by Houthi rebels for several years now. There was a boat off the coast of Yemen. It's not a new thing. It's just the thing that should concern you is the fact that they're making a big deal out of it. So when you have something that's a normal occurrence, but then they ramp up in the media,
right,
that's when you know some sort of Gulf of Tonkin is coming.
And that's what I'm getting at, is like, this seemed to be like everything I saw breaking, right? Like, oh my God, like super important, fear, right? That's what I got out of the, I don't know, 5 or 6 articles that I saw in my news feed just before the show today.
Well, this will give Nikki Haley some talking points at her next debate. And Ron DeSantis, look, see, they're going after our warships. We have to go to war with them. Destroy them all. I mean, it's just ridiculous. They'll use this as, see, look what they're doing. We have to go after them. It's crazy.
Yeah. Matthew?
Sorry to hear you.
Commercial submarine through the Red Sea. That's the solution.
Matthew, we appreciate the call, man. Thanks.
Build them in Groton, Connecticut.
603-283-6160. I didn't even sew that together. It's, you know.
Commercial subs.
That's why I like our listeners, right? You know,
yeah.
They're listening.
Yeah, they're listening. Yeah. They're listening. They're thinking.
It's not just the FBI that listens to this program.
Hello, Agent Nelson.
Oh, and what's the broad's name from Ian's case?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
I think we only called her mean things. I don't think we ever called her by her name, so I don't know if we actually know it.
I was told, I was told, and I'm pretty sure it was her, that they're making her the new, like, sort of,
crypto
specialist prosecutor, because of the case against.
Because she knows,
I wonder if she's
going to
go after. She's going to go after BlackRock when they get the ETF. Go investigate them. No, that's completely legal. BlackRock has an ETF for Bitcoin. Completely fine.
If any of the alphabet agencies who are listening to this show listen to it regularly, my hope, of course, is that you do learn something about cryptocurrency. From our program, that you take it upon yourself to go educate yourself on what cryptocurrency is and what it does. You go read Satoshi's white paper. You brush up on things like philosophy and morality. And
you can learn what NFX means.
And ethics.
Ethics.
And the idea being here that if you educate yourself, you will discover some things that are pretty shocking. And, you know, that's... that's the best I can do, is hope for positive change from these people listening to this show.
It's an educational show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be nice.
So
since, what's happening in San Francisco?
Since we're talking about crime, politicians, and people in the FBI who are criminals themselves, crime in San Francisco is so bad, there's now actual pirates in the bay. I'm not talking about people dressed up in costumes going, "Arr, matey." Right? I'm not talking about that.
They've run out of street crime, so they've got to take to the harbor.
Yeah, there's too much competition.
Now there's boat by shootings.
Yeah.
Oh.
Boat by. Well, I guess still you're driving a boat or you're piloting a boat. What is it?
Are you? Yeah. Do you drive?
Is it a motorboat by shooting?
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to get the motorboat in there. This from Zero Hedge by Tyler Durden. Former harbor master of Oakland Brock DeLapp doesn't like to use the word piracy to describe waterborne crime in the Oakland Alameda estuary. People have this romantic view of pirates. Johnny Depp, Pirates of the Caribbean, arg! Aye, matey, said Mr. DeLapp, a marine consultant who was also Alameda's harbor master before his retirement. The reality is, anything but romantic, the so-called pirates are nothing like the real Oakland Raiders, as one newspaper headline put it. They moved to Vegas, by the way. These people are just common criminals living on illegal anchor-off vessels, committing robberies within the San Francisco Bay, he said.
Wait, they're illegal boats they're in?
Anchor-offs or anchor-outs are boats that are illegally anchored without a permit.
Well,
without a permit?
So it's okay to be a pirate if you have a permit.
How did, yeah, of course. How, before government, how did people ever anchor anywhere? They didn't have a permit.
I know.
How did they ever
stop? You
gotta
pay off the harbor master, probably.
How did anything ever get done?
Great question.
I don't know. It's crazy.
Illegally anchored without a permit. I'm sorry, sir. You can't anchor here unless you've paid. I'm sorry, I didn't know. It doesn't matter. You haven't paid, yeah. So you can't anchor here.
Got to pay the troll toll.
Well, okay, what happens if I don't pay? Well, we'll put you in a cage. And if I resist that, well, then we'll shoot you.
Well, they'll fine you first, so it is legal at a price.
Well,
that's true.
A permit just means, you know, yeah.
Yeah, same thing, right?
Yeah. It's cheaper to get the permit than the ticket.
Licensing is what happens when government takes away your right to do something and sells it back to you for a fee.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for your safety.
This past summer, a spree of robberies plagued the 800-foot-wide estuary, involving stolen motorboats that were used to prey on larger vessels and marinas. In one instance, thieves made off with three inflatable dinghies from an Alameda yacht club. Burglars hit at least four other Bay Area yacht clubs, a sailing center, and several owners living on their boats. Hopefully they had a permit to anchor. Mr. DeLapp, age 74, said that while the city of Alameda has been diligent in keeping illegal anchor offs at bay.
At bay. Oh,
what a horrible, horrible statement. Oakland continues to struggle with derelict boats, currently at around 20. Okay. There's a criminal element that shows up that's not just living on these boats anchored out. Mr. DeLapp told the Epoch Times, they get really aggressive going out at night into marinas and stealing equipment off boats, stealing boats themselves out of marinas. Alameda has never allowed this to become a problem on their shoreline. They've been victimized. These pirates have gone into Alameda marinas. They're feeling the brunt of it, but they don't have they don't have the anchor out vessels on their Alameda side.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Mm. They're feeling the brunt of it. These parents.
That's like
AI probably wrote this article.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe. Outboard motor shop owner Craig Jacobson said thieves struck two of his boats at his business in Oakland and made off with thousands of dollars in parts and electronics. We recovered it at the same flotilla. I know of about 20 boats stolen. Mr. Jacobson told the Epoch Times they've all been found in the same place. Those of you who don't know what a flotilla is, it's usually a bunch of boats tied together. Sometimes they'll, like, you can do a log boom, which is just a log in the water that everybody ties to so that, you know, the boats kind of stay together and you can hop from boat to boat, that kind of a thing.
Okay, cool.
For a couple of months, it was serious. We got calls every day about people having their boats stolen. They'd go into the marinas at night, take the small inflatables and stuff, and take them over to their homeless encampment, he said. They have a picture here. He's pointing to... that's not important.
Floating poop in the water? Is that what's he pointing to?
No. The article goes on, it's just homeless people living on boats. I mean, okay. Right?
Which is fine if it's your boat and you didn't steal it.
Yeah, I mean, if they're living on the boat is their home, they're not homeless.
Yeah.
Right, but they don't have a permit, so you got to get off the boat. Come back with a permit.
I mean, people have been living on boats for a long, long time, very long time.
But they're homeless, so that's probably the problem. But
their boat is their home, therefore they're not homeless.
Well, yeah, but he just said homeless people are living on their boats.
That's what he says, but he's incorrect.
But they're stealing the boats, right?
Some of them.
I mean, and to some people, the definition of a home is like a modern, you know, four walls and
house,
a roof, like
right.
House.
House, property, right, home.
Up to code, not a shack, not a car, not a van, not a tent.
Yeah.
Cardboard
well,
box.
That's government. Government doesn't know how to think
but
outside
of its
own.
But a lot of other people think that as well.
Yeah. Like, for me, ideally, I'd like to just purchase some land with a nice clearing on it.
Yeah.
I would like to put up a slab of concrete with which I could pull a nice fifth wheel RV onto, but I would also build what's known as a winter roof, right? Mm-hmm. So you're parking
like a Quonset
your
hut or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're just parking. It's an RV cover that can handle snow. That's all it is, right? So there's no four walls. It's like four pillars and an angled roof.
Snow comes off.
Yeah, that's snow, and so it doesn't damage your RV, right? Your RV doesn't get snowed on it. You can put up windbreaks and stuff like that on the, you know, to make cloth walls to keep it from the wind chill down. You can install, they now make small, tiny wood stoves for RVs and stuff like that. Hmm. So as long as you have septic and well, that should be good enough, right? And then also I'd like to build, like, a large shop, right? You know, some sort of a pole barn-looking thing, and that would be fine for me, right? I'd be just fine. Living in an RV for the rest of my life on my own property under a winter canopy with a large shop where I can, you know, have loud music and, you know, whatever, have parties and, you know, market
store
days
your firewood
or
whatever.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, right? You know, work on cars or whatever it is I'm doing, right? And whatever
you
like.
Want to do. Yeah. It's your property.
It's my shop. I can build a recording studio in it if I wanted to.
Right.
You know, I don't know. All sorts of fun stuff.
You want to dress a deer? You can do
that. But, like, it's not that easy to do that because of things known as zoning laws.
But there are a few towns in New Hampshire that don't have any zoning laws.
That's
you
true.
Can do that. I don't know specifically which
entire
ones.
Entire counties.
So.
Yes.
Just speaking for New Hampshire, but I mean, I'm sure there's other states that
yes.
allow that. Alaska probably allows that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, probably.
I don't know.
You're going to need a big roof.
But the thing is, it's like, whether they allow it or not, if you can't enforce it, like some places in Alaska that are, you know, rather remote, it's like, who's coming over here to enforce
but
these
but
laws?
I take
you know
issue,
what I mean? Like,
I take,
no one cares.
I take issue with allow. Like, people should be able to do whatever they want as long as they're not hurting each other.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Like, in a neighborhood, I think it makes a neighborhood unique if not every house is the exact same as the other houses around it.
Yeah.
Right? Well, that's a homeowners association is like another layer of government in a neighborhood.
Yeah, but I'm not even talking about HOAs. I'm just talking about, like, a residential neighborhood of a town or a city. And you can only do things certain ways. You can't even paint your house the color you
want.
If you want your house to be purple, and you get a bunch of purple paint, and you get your buddies over, and you paint your house purple, someone's coming to knock and being like, I'm sorry, you can't paint your house purple.
Right. Yeah.
Or it has to be a certain square footage for a neighborhood. You can't build a 1,000 square foot house with, you know, 4,000 square foot neighborhood.
Right.
You won't get a building permit.
Right.
It has to be a minimum size, which means a minimum size means a minimum taxable size for them.
Right. Yeah.
So there's all these hoops and licenses and, you know, jerking you around and monkey dances you have to do and money you got to fork over out of your wallet.
Oh, yeah, I just wrote some of those checks.
Yeah. At any rate, he says, for some reason, talking about the homeless people living on boats, for some reason, no one wants to deal with it. The Oakland police say it's Alameda's issue. The Alameda police say it's Oakland's issue. Mr. Jacobson said it makes no difference in installing security fencing and cameras to deter crime. Criminals always find a way in.
Right. Why would you want to build a wall?
Wait. Mr. Jacobson said it makes no difference installing security fencing and cameras to deter crime. Criminals always find a way in. Well, then it makes no sense to have a police force.
Right. Or ban firearms.
Because criminals always find a way in.
Yeah. Right.
I think this
there you go.
Know what he's talking about. Twice at night, people came into my yard. One night, I saw people in hoodies going through a boat in the back of my yard. I chased them off. Who knows what happens at night when we're not here, he said. The police are shorthanded, so calling 911 doesn't necessarily prompt a fast response. Has it ever?
Don't say.
Call 912.
Has there ever been a time when 911 resulted in a prompt response?
Doubt it.
When seconds count, cops are minutes away.
Or hours.
Or hours if they even show up.
Yeah. Let's go to some of your, well, you know, okay, let's go to, we got David in San Francisco. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I heard you talking about the issue about those boats over there in Alameda.
Arr.
If you've ever read about when the gold rush happened, like 175 years ago now,
yep.
There were so many people that came to California to get in on the gold rush
mm-hmm.
that they abandoned whole ships out here in the bay.
Yeah.
And when you go to First Street in San Francisco, that used to be the beach, but it's four blocks in. So there were so many ships shoulder to shoulder that were totally abandoned, and they were abandoned like that for 20, 30 years. And, you know, people were setting up bars on there. They were living on them. Some of them were sinking and, you know, collapsing, and they became the muck that is now, you know, the
First
number
Street.
Of the four blocks that are now all the way down to the waterline.
Yeah.
And so in the history of San Francisco, this issue of people living on boats and crapping over the side and, you know, making a sewage problem and, you know, how do you get food delivered four blocks in to the waterline?
Uber Eats.
Yeah, but it's not a pleasurable life out there, in other words. I don't know if you, you know, there's so much activity on the bay. If you've got a small boat, you know, even a 20, 25-foot boat that you've anchored out into the bay.
With a permit.
There are plenty of those that the line breaks while they're asleep, and they just float off into the distance and wake up when they're being run down by a ship.
Mm-hmm.
And just by one anchor line parting causes tens of thousands of dollars worth of, you know, Coast Guard activity to try to rescue you from being run over by a ship. Or you drifting off out into the ocean.
Sure.
So it's not as easy a life as you're making it sound. The idea
was I making it sound easy to be a pirate in the San Francisco Bay? I didn't think I was making it sound easy.
Well, I mean, you're making different kinds of jokes, but there's a reality of it that, you know, anybody that tries it for more than 2 or 3 days is basically going to learn the hard way. It's a difficult life out there.
Yeah, we got you. Thanks for the call, David. We appreciate it. David may or may not know, but I did spend a bit of time as a commercial fisherman. Lived on a boat for, three different trips, month apiece. So I have an idea what it's like to live on a boat and how difficult it may be. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA News Update. A suspect accused of killing three homeless men in L.A. was apprehended.
He was already in custody for another murder near L.A. He's been tied to a fourth homicide nearby. Here's Los Angeles County Sheriff Robert Luna.
They placed Jared Joseph Powell under arrest for murder and robbery.
Powell, age 33, was charged with three homeless men's killings.
Since the Gaza ground operation began on October 27th, Israeli forces have discovered 800 shafts leading to Hamas's extensive network of tunnels and bunkers. The Palestinian Islamic group claimed to have a network comparable in size to the New York subway system, with tunnels serving as operational bases. These tunnels have become prime targets for Israeli airstrikes, many located in civilian areas such as schools, kindergartens, mosques, and playgrounds. Dave Collins, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Oh my gosh, look at that. We are back.
Hurry up. Come on. We're back.
Thanks for reminding me. I almost forgot. It is Free Talk Live. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening.
You're welcome.
Salted or unsalted?
Salted.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Very good.
These look roasted.
I prefer, they are dry roasted. We're talking about Nikki's nuts.
Yep.
Not Nikki is nuts, but Nikki has nuts. They're peanuts and they're salted.
I do.
Yeah. I prefer
a little dish.
I prefer cashews.
I love cashews. But I'm salted. This is my poverty cashews.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar. Yeah,
the legumes.
they really are.
Yeah, it's not even a nut. Faker.
Fake.
It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160 if you would like to join us on air. We've got a caller on hold right now. We'll get to him in just a second. In the studio tonight, it's
Steve Classic.
Nikki.
And I am your host, the Reverend Captain Kickass. No, I only do.
Oh, yeah, if you will.
Yeah. If you will.
I will. I do.
Sure.
We were talking about our pirates. Hey, do you guys know the pirate alphabet?
No.
It's A, E, I, and of course, R.
What do you mean out to sea?
What's the pirate alphabet?
Sea is not in it?
Mm.
Like going out to sea.
Yeah, no, I guess.
Maybe I.
Oh,
what do you mean I? I only got one eye. Have you seen the new pirate movie?
No.
Rated R.
Oh, my gosh.
That joke's horrible. That's terrible.
Somebody was a comedian that I've seen repeatedly now claims that Popeye was a stoner, and that wasn't spinach.
No.
That wasn't spinach. And, you know, because no
edibles.
Nobody acts that way.
Oh, he put it in his pipe.
He's got a pipe. Yeah, he's got a green leafy stuff, and then he's got a pipe. Like, you know,
yeah.
Popeye's a stoner man. And then he further claimed that you'd have to be really high to think olive oil was attractive.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you know, the dude has wickedly giant forearms. Popeye, that is.
Yeah.
You know, so, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
You know what the sound effect is?
No.
That's Popeye's other eye popping out.
Popeye.
All right.
Oh,
I'm done.
Wow.
I'm only here till 10 p.m.
At least there's
luckily.
A limit. Let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. I believe this is Creighton. Creighton, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi. I called in to make a comment about the pirates.
Arr.
one of the things about living on a boat, and I'm sure you know, is that it's kind of like a hack, a lifestyle hack.
Yes.
In the sense that you already mentioned the enormous amount of regulation and zoning laws that govern owning, you know, real estate.
Yep.
Whereas owning a sailboat, just as long as it's decently well maintained and doesn't look like a shanty on the water, it's more than possible to travel and, you know, live on a boat.
Oh yeah.
But of course, it is hard. It's like living in an RV only on water.
Right,
but you can get seasick.
What's funny
the trick about being?
Yeah, go ahead.
And you mentioned the issue about being considered homeless because you're living on a vehicle. But there is a classic roundabout workaround on that, especially in Florida, where that you can get permanent addresses at these companies that do mailboxes and have your mail shipped to wherever you are.
Right. Yes.
And nowadays, RV people who live in RVs do the exact same thing.
They do. They're called remailing services. If any of you out there are living on a boat or an RV and you need something like that.
Yes, and but for decades that was pretty much a exclusively live aboard on sailboats kind of trip that, you know, people who would travel the Great Loop would use that a lot as a permanent residence.
Yeah.
As far as the government is concerned, you're legally not homeless if you have a permanent address.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't matter if, like, you have an apartment or even an actual home. Just do you have a permanent address? And it has to be something, and this is something that I learned from working with people on new construction who put in telephone lines to businesses. The address has to be available in something like MSAG. MSAG is a post office database. So if I'm a builder and I bought this, you know, on 20 acres, and I'm building a subdivision, right? I'm going to build, you know, 50 homes or something on this 20 acres. I have to not only build the roads and build them up to code and get all the permits and all that kind of crap to do all the construction, but then I also got to jump through some hoops to register the roads.
Register the roads.
With
the post office?
Yeah, with the post office so that they can begin to deliver mail to these new houses.
Oh, yeah.
If that step is skipped, what happens is when you go to put things like telephones or utilities in there,
you have no address.
Specifically telephones, there's no way for them to get a screen pop at the 911 call center.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some workarounds for that kind of stuff, but that's, you know, going to get into the weeds a bit with, you know, telephony and that kind of stuff. So I won't.
What if your subdivision has a private fire department? private ambulance.
I guess you don't need their services.
You don't
do
need
you?
Their services. Like a, something like the villages.
You might have thugs come to your house demanding that you, you know.
Yeah, there are still requirements for if telephone is put in, there are requirements that you must be able to dial 911 and it has to be tied to a location.
And that's a law.
It's several laws, yes.
What if you don't have a telephone?
What do you mean?
I guess it doesn't matter.
Do you have to have a telephone?
You, if in a house, no, you don't have to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, where do you, so, we need your phone number for 911.
Well, they still have to run the infrastructure for telephones, because odds are you're not going to live in that house for the rest of your life with no phone, right? You might move, and somebody else might move in, and the phone lines have to be run and plugged into the wall and all that kind of stuff.
Really?
Yeah, the infrastructure has to exist.
See, I don't think people are going to need phone lines going to their house the same way they're not going to need mail service with all the email and just doing everything online.
So now that phone and cable are kind of one thing now because of VoIP,
right?
You still need that infrastructure, right? That has to be in there and available in the neighborhood according to zoning laws.
Yeah, but I have Starlink.
Right. So
I make all my calls on Wi-Fi.
I don't like zoning laws.
Right, but you're not a commercial entity.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, commercial entity. So, but you were talking about building 50 houses on 20 acres.
That would be a commercial thing.
What if you're building one house on 20 acres?
Well, that's up to you then, depending on where you live. Like in New Hampshire, of course, like you do what you want, basically. Right. Nobody's going to care.
Right.
Unless, you know, somebody does, and then you're going to get a visit from the man.
Right.
You know,
tell them to come back.
But
later.
It's generally, like, if you're out, you know, if you got acreage, you know, generally people are going to leave you alone. But if you're in a town or a city, like in a residential neighborhood, somebody's going to care.
Yeah, get the nosy.
Somebody's going to care.
You were also talking, I think, last week about the forwarding your mail or just having a common mailbox. If you just put it to your name and some zip code and they keep it at the post office, they don't deliver it to you.
Oh, general delivery.
General delivery.
Yeah. This, I don't even know if it still exists.
We should try it.
But. What you're talking about is, you know, if your name is Bob Smith and you know the post office closest to wherever it is you happen to be.
The zip code.
You need that zip code and the post office. You can have stuff sent to Bob Smith, general delivery, whatever the post office's address is, and the zip code.
And you just go there with your
and so
ID
something gets sent there. Yeah, they keep it for some period of time. I don't know what that is. You show up with ID. You're like, hey, I'm Bob Smith. I had something sent here, general delivery. And they go, can I see your ID? And they see your ID. And they're like, yeah, here you go. And they hand you your mail. But that is different. You can't get a driver's license using general delivery as your address. You can't get a driver's license using the post office's street address as your home address. They won't let that happen.
In New Hampshire, you can have your driver's license, your P.O. box. You don't have to give me your address.
That is one of the differences in New Hampshire.
I have no clue.
On my driver's license, I have a P.O. box.
Yeah, that's one of the...
Because I thought it was a physical address, not a mailing address.
No,
it's one of the freer things about New Hampshire. Now, like in Washington State, you cannot have a P.O. box. You must have, as our caller has described, a physical mailing address.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, there's ways you can get around that, but they're few and far between because most of the time, most people rent an apartment or have a house or something.
You know what the address is on my pistol permit in New Hampshire?
What?
I don't have one. You don't need a pistol permit in New Hampshire.
Wow, I fell for that.
Wow.
Wow.
Creighton, what else is on your mind? Creighton?
Dropped off?
Somebody sprayed a can of Creighton be gone. Steve, you talked over him too much. Way to go.
I apologize.
Creighton, call back. No. We only get one call.
All right, call back next Sunday.
Call back.
That's it.
But thanks for the call. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160.
Living on a boat.
I'm on a boat.
Oh, such a good tune.
I can't say most of the good parts of that one because, well, we're on radio.
Oh, I also like the from Step Brothers. The boats and I don't know if I can say the other word.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Let's try not to.
The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria.
Lonely Island's I'm on a boat, those.
Yeah, that's good too. I like Lonely Island.
When I first heard that song. Like, I don't like all of their stuff. In fact, very few.
Some of it's like a little too cheesy. It's like,
but, man, they knocked the boat song out of the park. If you're looking to laugh, just go search for Lonely Island Boat. And you will commence laughing as you watch their video. We were talking, however, about pirates in the San Francisco Bay. And this article from Zero Hedge talking about apparently There's a battle between Oakland and Alameda, California, for whose problem is it?
Isn't that great, government going after government?
Well, they're actually ignoring each other, though. Oh, they're not really better. They're not really fighting each other in that respect. They're
pointing fingers.
They're going, not my problem, it's your problem. They're going, no, it's your problem, not our problem. Right?
And around and around, around it goes.
And so nothing ever happens, and the pirates continue.
Yeah.
This article continues to go on with, we called 911 in the morning, we found our stuff, and we're told the officers were tied up with some violent crime. We had to deal with it ourselves.
The officers were actually tied up?
I think figuratively tied up.
Mm-hmm. Tracy, you never know, it's San Francisco.
That's true.
Tracy Riegelman is the assistant commodore.
What is that? That sounds like a...
It's a... Well, the Commodores used to be like a vocal band.
Yeah.
Like Lionel Richie.
You
know, yeah, but also... Yeah. Isn't that like someone Commodore. That like I'm like thinking of like bullfighting or something?
Oh,
that's a matador.
It's a matador.
Yeah.
A Commodore.
I don't know what a Commodore is.
It's like an admiral.
I look it up. Because I only know the Commodore is the vocal band.
Right, I think
like
you go from midshipman to Commodore, and then to admiral.
Or are these the these are the civilian titles relating to boats.
Oh,
is what they are, right, not the military. Titles,
right. Okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So that makes sense. Tracy Riegelman is the assistant commodore at the Oakland Yacht Club in Alameda. In his role, he's been dealing with crime related to homelessness for months, not just from so-called pirates, but shoreline criminals as well.
Shoreline pirates.
I'm trying to remember when I was on the boat that referred to land, people who live on the land. Something
land lovers? Land.
Yeah, that's not the word that I'm looking for, though. But... You know,
people.
You go out on a boat, and you got to like get your sea legs. But like, if you're
what?
Anyway, the reality is there's a very lax structure around crime and prevention around here. He said the real issue is that we have these organized crime units, which consist of anchor out pirates and shoreline crime. They're probably working together, I'm guessing. The amount of crime on the water when people use the term pirates is high. Well, are they? Are they doing drugs, right? You know, like, are they high?
Smoke on the water.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
But what people don't realize is people on the shoreline or shoreside within 100 or 200 feet of the shore, it's just as high. We've had physical assaults at the restaurant right here. We just last weekend, three cars stolen from the parking lot. The last 3 months, we probably had a dozen or more stolen vehicles. We've had trespassing, thefts, harassment. Last night, Sunday, we had a SWAT team here in the parking lot.
Oh, cool.
A person in the hotel next door, which is currently housing homeless, had locked himself in a room.
Okay, so I wonder why, first of all, yeah, if you're living in the hotel, you're probably not homeless, technically speaking. But if they're, like, housing homeless people a lot of the times, right? Though I'm assuming these are the same criminals, right?
Sure.
Typically, they're doing drugs or drinking or whatever. And they're wondering why they have this problem. I mean, that's probably it. They're probably getting, like, government stipends to stay in this hotel, if I were to guess. And then they're like, why? What's up with all the crime on the bay all of a sudden? Like, this was supposed to be, like, a rich, fancy place,
right,
kind of.
Yeah.
Well, you just, you know, shipped
it
in.
Right,
yeah.
Well, how long will it be before we have a story with the guy from the marina bringing the poop to City Hall? We cleaned this out of these unanchored boats.
Oh,
they didn't have permits.
They didn't have permits.
They were anchored, but they didn't have permits. So we just took all their stuff. Here, have it. Mr. Riegelman told the Epic Times the Yacht Club has tried to work with Alameda City and County officials to find a solution, but it hasn't worked out at all.
Surprise.
Oh, you tried to work with a government agency to
affect
change?
I'm talking to officials.
Yeah, and it didn't work out. Surprise. There is a jurisdictional issue and control, and it runs right down the middle of the estuary. The cooperation between the agencies, there is none, Mr. Riegelman said. Again, surprise. Once you learn, ladies and gentlemen, about how ineffective, inefficient, overpriced, and otherwise lame the government is at doing things, you become less and less surprised at statements like this. But don't we have people that do that? We have people who claim to do that, but they don't actually do that.
Yeah.
Right. That's how government works. But people lie to you, so they get reelected, and then don't do the things that they said they were going to do.
Yep. I'm surprised the cities didn't say, well, it's a Coast Guard problem. It's a federal problem, not a city problem.
Right.
Just blame them.
Areas recently targeted by estuary pirates include the public docks at Jack London Square and the Jack London Aquatic Center in Oakland. There's also the estuary channel west of the Bayside Hotel and Union Point Park. Simon Greaves, age 56, a Sausalito resident from the United Kingdom, is the owner of the sailboat Sun Odyssey, equipped with an inflatable dinghy moored at Jack London Square. While he's anchored his sailboat for more prolonged periods along the Oakland estuary, he's hesitant to do so now because of rising property crime. From what we heard, it wasn't like that when we were here probably 8 months ago, and we started to hear about it a lot. So yes, it's definitely increased, but I haven't heard anything recently. I don't know whether they're on top of it. It was more on the Oakland side, he said. All right, so just a suggestion here, because we've talked about inflatable dinghies here in this article, but previously we talked about inflatable Santas. Yeah. As a decoy, you have inflatable Santas left upon your boat, so when these thieves come by and think they're stealing an inflatable dinghy, they just get a Santa.
Uh-huh.
With an 18-inch hole in it.
From what we heard, it wasn't like that. Oh, we already covered that. Mr. Greaves also noticed an increasing number of anchor-offs and kept the engine on the dinghy separate to prevent theft. Okay. Wow. He suspects the electronic security gates that keep criminals out of the public marinas encourage thieves to use boats instead. So, when we go to this marina, they give you a special key. That key allows you to get in. It's the same with our docking in Sausalito, he told the Epoch Times. The term pirates is a fair term, he said.
Mm.
Mark, who lives on his skiff in the Oakland estuary, said he felt personally violated after one of his backup gas tanks was stolen as he was going through tough times. When you get robbed, it's pretty bad. All you can do for the most part is keep an eagle eye and make sure you don't see strangers who look like they don't belong. It's like a nomadic thing. Guys come in and start stealing stuff. It's sporadic. There was a guy over here causing a lot of problems. He jumped on a boat a gal was living on like he was going to do something. I would say they're probably addicted to something and have to support their habit somehow. So now he's talking about, you know, drug addicts boarding your boat. According to Oakland Police Department's crime report for September 4th through 10th, robberies increased by 20% in 2023, with 348 reported incidents compared to the 291 the year before. The city saw a whopping 44% increase in burglaries, with 2,137 reported compared to 1,670 in 2022. Crime is up overall 25% year over year, the report added. Blah, blah, blah. The crimes are generally committed at night or during early morning hours. Victims are boat owners who have their boats stored in local marinas. There were no weapons used during the span of these crimes. So far, police have arrested a transient man charged with stealing an outboard motor. Mr. Riegelman said it's difficult to assess the exact percentage of crimes committed by the homeless because their victims aren't always willing to report them. So, yeah, if you are living on your boat and you're, quote, illegally docked or anchored, unquote, without a permit, it's so ridiculous. You're in the water and, like, you can't drop an anchor for reasons?
Nope. Mm-hmm. Not without a permit.
It's ridiculous. But, you know, you're technically homeless yourself. Are you, you know, if something gets stolen off your boat, are you going to call the cops? Probably not.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Right.
So the people who are getting their stuff stolen, they're also homeless? Or they're just living on boats?
They're living, well, yes. It depends on your definition of homeless.
Yeah.
Right? So the state's definition of homeless would certainly apply.
Right.
To somebody living on their boat, right? You don't have a mailing address. You don't have an apartment or property. Right. So therefore, you are homeless.
So living on a boat would be kind of like we're living in a tiny house or a camper or something transitional
Hashtag van life. Yes.
Yeah. Hashtag van life.
I mean, I follow these people on YouTube, Sailing the Vagabond, plug for them, and they've been living on a boat with their two kids for like 7 years.
Telling Steve during the break that in the Seattle, Washington area, it's very common for young people starting out because they can't afford like an actual apartment to rent a boat that's parked in a marina. Or if you come into some money, you can't afford to buy property, much less a multifamily or something like that. So you can buy a slip in a marina. Buy a condo, right? Yeah. And then you pay, you know, some amount of money per month for like trash
there?
Or whatever. You have to have a boat. Right?
Yeah.
You could buy a slip for for the price of a car, right? Yeah. 50 grand, something like that. I don't know what the price is.
Because I would know,
days,
some marinas. I mean, it depends where it is, but I'm thinking of particular marina on Lake Winnipesaukee.
Yeah.
It's a very big lake in New Hampshire. And they would never let anybody, sleep there in their boat, I don't think.
During season?
During the season, yeah. Live there in the winter. You have to pull your boat out.
Yeah.
But in Seattle, winter doesn't really exist, so people just live there year-round.
I don't know. I was just always under the impression, you go back to your lake house. I don't know. I've never really seen anybody that seemed like they were living there. It's just...
Yeah.
I was assuming, once the marina's closed, it's closed, and you got to get out.
Well, yes, it's kind of like a seasonal campground.
It's a seasonal, yeah.
Right? Because the worry in these climates, of course, is in the winter, the water freezes.
I mean closed to for the night.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean?
I see.
Not just a seasonal thing.
I think if you have a nice sized boat, you could sleep there.
Yeah, if you pay for the slip, man, I would think you could just come and go whenever you want.
Yeah, maybe.
I would hope. But I don't know. I don't have a boat here.
It just seemed like that would not be allowed by the people that own the marina. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, maybe not.
There's tons of marinas in the Seattle area, tons of boats, tons of people living on boats, full-time. Yeah. Right? You can find them for sale on Craigslist and things like that. Yeah.
So you can get a slip and a boat for probably 100 grand.
If you're frugal, sure. Yeah.
That's less of a thing around here because that's just... really, it's just where wealthier people live. It's it's not so hard to find housing around here. You can kind of find an affordable place to live. So it's why would you
compared
go...
Compared to Seattle, yeah.
Yeah, why would you go to the lake and live in a marina when it's cheaper, probably, to get an apartment?
Right, but that's my point about the Seattle area, is that it's way cheaper to live on... Even
that's
if you
crazy.
Just rent somebody else's boat that's already parked in a marina, that's going to be less expensive than rent. 603-283-6160. Still to come, is there any science? Maybe some top 10 headlines?
Oh, maybe.
We'll figure it out. More Free Talk Live.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, Get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.